Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small businesses. So we created a podcast where we have million-dollar conversations that help small business owners thrive. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity of Matty G Digital.
And we are recording from the Thrive Podcast Studio at Thrive Coworking Community in downtown Lindsay, Ontario at 18 Kent Street West. And with us today, we have new business owner Ryan Metcalf from Your Focus Life. Ryan, tell us a bit about you and your business.
Thanks, Brian. I lived in the Lindsay area for about the past 15 years. I think it's a great place to raise a family. Moved here to go to Fleming College, again, about 15 years ago, and stuck around. I've been here ever since, just raising my children, and am starting a new business, as you mentioned. So that journey of sort of launching a business, coming up with the idea, took me to Matty G Digital. I figured I better launch a website if I'm going to be starting a business. That was sort of one of the early steps. So through that process, found Matt, and then through Matt, started working with you, Brian.
Awesome.
Profit Coach. So that's what brought me here today to talk about my business on the podcast.
Where did you move from?
So I grew up in Markham, Ontario, but I've lived kind of all over the place. I spent 5 years in Thunder Bay before moving to Lindsay. My wife and I actually lived in Korea for a year teaching English.
Oh, wow.
And then traveled Southeast Asia. So we were away from Canada for about 18 months. And then when we returned to Canada, I thought I should probably figure out what I'm going to do. So I went back to college at Fleming. And while I was going to college, we liked the area, found some job opportunities, and decided to stick around and raise a family here. So,
where'd you meet your wife? Was it in Markham?
In Thunder Bay.
Thunder Bay.
Yes. Yeah, we both went to Lake Ed University in Thunder Bay. So
I'm always fascinated by how that stuff works, because like you never know how you're gonna like you end up in Thunder Bay or this and that, and then you meet someone so important to you. Like I met my wife at a kegger, like the lowest, lamest of all the parties when you're younger. And like we met, we hit it off, we started dating right away, and like I have a very happy life now. It was just funny how these circumstances come up.
Yeah, it's true. And my wife's first keg party was at my house during university. So there you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sad that we don't have the trifecta of keg party.
The keg party bond. Yeah.
That's awesome. So you have your new business. Tell us what your focus life is and then sort of how it turned into a business idea.
Yeah, sure. So I think it all starts with the problem of people who work in offices and do that type of work seem to really be increasingly overwhelmed and stressed out. Your Focused Life was created to help people start taking action towards feeling happy, calm, and being productive at work. And really, it's all about me wanting to share the strategies that have helped me improve my life. Really came to a realization through listening to some podcasts, doing readings, that the ability to focus is becoming harder and harder. You know, the modern digital world that we live in, there's always some distraction vying for your attention. I never thought that I had a problem with that. But, you know, during COVID, I moved into this nice, quiet home office where there's no other people around, there's really no distractions, and I was still having a really hard time sitting down and focusing on my work and even just focusing for more than 10, 20, 30 minutes at a time. And it was becoming a bit of a problem for me. And then again, started listening to podcasts, doing a little bit of reading about it. And it's a real thing that people are having a hard time focus. You know, our attention spans are shrinking, and a lot of it has to do with the world we live in, the modern digital world. So I started taking action towards trying to fix it, trying to implement some strategies that are, you know, backed by science and backed by research and talked about by some very smart people. you know, who've written books on this subject, and it changed everything for me. It changed the way I work. It changed the way I feel about my work. It changed how much time I get to spend with my kids. I feel a lot more productive now, and I just feel calm. Even on a busy day, I feel like the strategies and the actions that I've taken have allowed me to deal with it calmly, as opposed to, you know, feeling stressed out at the end of the day and overwhelmed with work and, you know, too busy seems to be something that comes up again and again for people. So,
yeah, I think it's, there's so many places I want to go with this, because I think everyone talks about being overwhelmed. Everyone's busy. Sometimes we want to do something about it, but we just don't, or we don't know how. What was maybe from your memory, the first sort of action you took and realizing like, oh, this action actually worked?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think, you know, I have a list, I'm compiling this list, and it's up to about 100 different actions and strategies that we can take. The one that I almost always put at the very top is managing the notifications on your devices. So whether it's your smartphone or your work computer, just going into the notification settings, and whether you're turning them all off or you're just only having some, that's such an easy starting point for me. And that's kind of probably what I started with. And it was a game changer, because now when I'm sitting and working on something important and trying to focus on the task at hand, my phone isn't dinging. I'm not getting a little pop-up box on my computer every time an email or a message comes in. And it seems like such a small and simple thing, but the reality is every time your attention gets broken away from a task, there's a cost to that. And, you know, they call it task switching or switching cost. You know, if that happens, it takes time to get back to that original task, even if it's just a quick little interruption. And eliminating those interruptions or distractions has allowed me to, you know, focus for 30, 60, 90 minutes at a time on a single task without losing the energy and the focus to that switching cost and that switching task. Because again, like the research shows, it can take up to 20 minutes to get back into that sort of focus zone of work. So the notification settings is definitely the big one for me.
I'm in week two of turning off those notifications, and badges was the other thing that drove me crazy as a business owner. And badges, I didn't even really know what they were until you told me about them. But the badges are those little things on your phone where beside your email, it's got a little number. It's like, hey, these many
thousands,
these little things need your attention. Or Facebook, Instagram, because I'm doing social media stuff and I'm getting messages from business owners through Thrive and all this stuff. Those badges would always be there. And even the telephone part of my phone would have, like, you've got this many calls, because I don't take any calls and I don't listen to my voicemails. So it would just be constantly piling up. I turned that off, and both have been outrageously beneficial to me. I've always tried to turn notifications off, like at the app level or whatever. Instagram was the one that would drive me bonkers, where they would be like, hey, Ryan's just started a reel. I'm like, I don't care that Ryan's just started a reel. I don't need to be notified about this right now. Or I like get chats and like little messages that come through. Anyways, I didn't know how to turn all that off until you showed me. And I will say, we're 2 weeks into it. The first week, Brian asked me, he's like, how's it going? And I'm like, I don't really notice it yet, right? And Brian's like, well, I'll be patient. It's going to take time. This past week and this weekend specifically, huge change. And I got the notification yesterday for my phone. Like, my phone time was down like 49% week over week. And this weekend specific, because this has been an issue with me for probably a long time, but I tried to address it like with a counselor like 6 months ago, of like trying to be more focused at home with my kids. And I'll be like, I'll leave my phone in the other room and I'll like hide my phone on myself. But then anytime there's a moment of quiet, I will go like scurry off and like, okay, this is like, I need my phone. Like right. I'm an addict, right? Not to make fun of that, but like I would take this moment where I could like sneak out and get on my phone. This past weekend, no issue, no concern, didn't think about it. We had like a lot of downtime and I just was like, meh. Not having the badges where it's like, or the notifications come up where it's telling you, you have something to address, was amazing. And that's like, it took the fun away from my phone and the obligation away from my phone, because like, that's what you're looking for. You're like, you're checking your phone. Like, does anybody like care? About it. Yeah. Does anybody
like
care
a gaming
about me?
Guy.
Yeah. Does anybody out here asking me to do something? Or does anyone care about me? And it's gone now. And I've loved it. And I was concerned that I was like, emails, I don't care about. I'll get to the emails when I get to them. I was more concerned about Instagram messages, but I'm not even the one that answers those for my businesses. And like most of those things, like my wife will message me 1,000 funny videos a day on Instagram. And at the end of the day, I'm like, I pop in there. I'm like, oh, I've got a bunch of messages in here. And I look at them. And this weekend was the first time where I didn't notice it until the end of the weekend. I was like, I didn't really go on my phone and I didn't care and I didn't need it. And in some ways the fun has been removed from my phone and I'm super happy about that.
Yeah. I was interested to hear your experience with that. So I'm glad it's working out for you. And you touched on a couple of things there that I think are key to the whole notification thing. One is, you know, you talked about the badges, that little number that sits there. Doesn't seem like a big deal, but just seeing that number can cause you some stress because you know that it's almost like unfinished business that's sitting there waiting for you, right? And again, it's a little thing, but when you add all these little things up, they can cause real stress in your life. So I think just eliminating that is such an easy step to take. And the what you said about your wife sending you all the videos on Instagram, and then at the end of the day, you'll still go and watch all the videos. And that kind of speaks to the concept of like task batching, where you take all the little, not urgent things, whether it's a work task or just watching a cat video, something you enjoy doing, save it. You don't need to be notified by Instagram, hey, check out the latest cat video. You can save that for the end of the day when you're sitting on your couch, you want to unwind, you enjoy going on Instagram. Spend 20 minutes going and do it then. But the notification is, hey, come look at me. Come on in here. We want your attention. And then they trap you and you end up on Instagram for 2 hours. So it's great. I'm glad it's working out for you because, yeah, it helped me a lot too. So
yeah, and I think there's probably people, there definitely are people out there that are rolling their eyes like, oh, like a little badge that says you've got 2 messages is stressful, but it is like, as whether you're a business owner or not, I think it's stressful where it's like, okay, is there a big problem in this app that I need to fix? Or is there something really small and I can just be really organized and clean that up right away? So like I am drawn to that when I see those numbers. And I've done other stuff back in January. I tried to hide my email. And so I went away on a trip and I didn't want to like go look at my work email and I stuck it in a folder. So it wasn't on my main screen, but then the freaking badges kept coming up. I'd still see it there. Oh my God, like it's still stressing me out. So the removal of the badge, like I didn't know you could do that. It's been massive. It's been huge. I'm like so thankful for it. And I guess one thing I did say, but I think I need to stress it is like, it's a patience thing too. And like the first week, I'm like, I don't know if I'm noticing a difference. It took week two, huge difference. It just takes some time to kind of adapt to and get used to. And yeah. I'm enjoying it.
You have to build the habit. And I think this kind of where my mind went is sometimes we think, well, we have to be responsive. And as a business owner, unless your business is being responsive, you can do things on a schedule. So your business, you know, I tell people all the time, you're as good as it gets for intentional marketing that's scheduled on a cadence. So, you know, Matt's not scrambling to get client work out every day or responding quickly. Other people might have a business where that is your business, in which case, you know, you might just need to put out other distractions and you're there waiting for those things to ding. in the blocks of time where you're scheduled to be responsive. But if it's not your business, you don't need to be worried all the time for like everything that's coming in. You can batch it and do it later.
Yeah, just like you said, managing digital, I'll get messages there sometimes on Instagram. They're not a priority. They're not like drop everything, something needs to be done. Thrive is a little bit different. We will get messages there frequently where it's, do you have something available tomorrow? And if I don't get that notification or it's not addressed sooner rather than later, we will lose that. But I just allocated it now. Like, I don't even deal with those messages. They go to the office manager. They are responsible for all the Instagram messages. And there's a couple other people. And the rule is, like, if you open a message, you are now responsible for that message. So we don't drop this stuff to you. Right. So.
Yeah, I think, I mean, a key piece there is knowing what your role is, right? If you need to be responsive, then you need to be responsive. But I think, you know, the office work environment that we've has kind of become the reality for people is this always on, always available, instant response. And I really don't think it needs to be that way. Mm-hmm. Again, coming back to the concept of sitting there working on something that's really important and you're trying to focus on, when an email comes in, do you need to stop what you're doing, respond to that email or text, whatever it may be, and break your concentration? Or are you better off continuing that focused work for however long you need, getting a really important piece of work done, and then moving back to respond? Because again, this whole constant state of always on, always ready, always, you know, really quick responses being expected, I think it causes a lot of stress for people.
Yeah, I think it's funny where my brain's going as we talk about this is I started my career in banking and doing loans. And then when I was a commercial lender, to be really good at the job, you need to be able to focus on writing what we would call the credits. But there was also this pressure of always being responsive because you didn't want to lose any business and you wanted to also be getting business. Mm-hmm. And to be good at the job, you needed like all these different skill sets. And when I think about, you know, I'm not doing that job anymore. And I think of all sorts of people who also aren't doing it anymore. And there's high turnover, high stress. The long timers who I worked with who retired, my observation with every single one of them is, you know, after I see them again, they look like the clock's gone back. They look younger because they're not dealing with it. So then it makes you question, like, is this even the right way to do it, right? So it's like, you know, the benefits of being able to focus on what you need to focus on and maybe have different focuses for different times of the day is, like, it's just evidence is there in front of us all the time.
Yeah. I mean, it's a real thing. You know, people much smarter than me are doing, you know, cognitive research on how our brains work and what, you know, the cost of switching back and forth between tasks, the mental cost of being in that constant state of alertness. You're almost putting your body into that fight or flight mode, as opposed to, okay, I'm done work, I'm going to relax. You're always on alert. You're always ready for the next thing to come in. And I think, you know, what my business is trying to do is try to help employers come up with some ways where they can really help their employees.
Yeah.
Right? Give people some support in a meaningful way. It shouldn't be hard to support people who want to do meaningful work. People want to be productive. They want to get things done and show results in their jobs. But I think the world that has become the 21st century digital workplace, it's becoming harder and harder to produce results, to focus on meaningful work, because we're just bouncing around from one thing after another. And in the end, it's costing us time. It's costing us energy, so that at the end of the day, you haven't got as much done as you hoped you had. You're drained, you're grumpy, and you want to spend time with your kids, but you don't have the energy to do it, or you don't have the time to do it. And really, you know, technology is supposed to make our lives easier.
Yeah.
It's supposed to, you know, make take tasks off our plate. But if we're just filling that time with other non-meaningful things, you know, we have to ask ourselves if it's helping us or hurting us.
Why do the employers want their employees to be calm and focused? Don't employers just want their employees to be running around, drinking coffee all night, crazy, spinning their tires constantly?
Maybe they do. I don't know. I think, you know, everyone, every employer wants to be known for having a good workplace, somewhere where people like to come in or like to do the job. No one wants employee turnover, absenteeism. They want to maintain good morale, keep good employees. And really, it's all about results. If you can get more done in less time, and even if that means you're using that extra time for mental health breaks or whatever it may be, if you have a happy employee, it's going to be a good place to work. And if people feel calm, but at the same time still feeling productive, I think it's going to help the overall business, you know, no matter what the business is. This, you know, not to get too big picture, but we think back to, you know, the early 1900s, you know, we built these workplaces around sort of the factory model, where, you know, you punch in, you stand there and you grind out your 10-hour shift and you do 10 hours of work and then you punch out and you go home. You know, we're still kind of living in that structure to an extent, but it's not the same world. I mean, we're doing Zoom calls now and people are working from home. People, you know, the punching in and punching out, it's almost like people are always on call.
Yeah.
You know, the government of Ontario, I believe, is part of a legislation that passed that said you can't punish people for not answering their emails outside of work time or on the weekends or on their vacation. Just the fact that that legislation had to be put in place, you know, shows us that there is a bit of a problem here. So ultimately, it's about creating a good workplace where people are happy and productive and not stressed out at the end of the day.
You're right about that legislation. It's wild that that had to be put in place, because didn't employers years ago try to trap people into that by giving them phones, like business phones, like, oh, now you got a business phone. You got to take my call whenever it rings. You got to answer my email whenever we send it to you.
Yeah, I always wonder how explicit those things were, because I, like, you know, just the way my age is, you know, when I started getting into the workforce, like, everyone had computers and emails, but actually at that time, not even everyone had their own work email. And then not everyone had phones. So it kind of became that, like, you didn't have it, then you did have it. And I think there was a novelty of like, oh, instead of waiting till tomorrow, I can just reply now. And it becomes that slippery slope. And there probably obviously were some employers where they were like, okay, everyone, now the expectation is, you know, you reply at 3 a.m. But in my memory, I don't know that that was ever explicit that you had to do that. People just kind of did it. And then it becomes like the cultural norm. You know, I remember someone who was an executive with RBC actually, and he just liked doing that, but he was someone who would be really focused on certain things. So he would be like, he would go to sleep at like 6 o'clock at night and wake up at like 3 a.m. And he just loved replying to all his emails at like 3:30 to 4:30 a.m. And that's just what he did. So he loved having the ability to do that. But no, I don't know that it was explicit. So we've just, everyone's just adopted this thing where we're, you know, on all the time.
Yeah. And I think, you know, to that point about the example you gave about the individual who gets up early in the morning, I think that's sort of more the model we're working towards, right?
Yeah.
Maybe people do want to answer their emails at 8 o'clock at night because that is when they have free time and they feel energized. Maybe they want to answer it at 4 o'clock in the morning. And this kind of speaks to one of the strategies I have, is like finding your prime time and then getting that important work done. If you're an early riser or a lark, get up early and have a plan to get some stuff done in the morning. If you're, you know, an owl, as they call it, plan your prime time at night. And some people work from, you know, 11 till 2 a.m. That's when they really are productive. And again, it's evolving away from that sort of factory worker mindset. But the expectation can't be, okay, well, I'm sending you an email at 8 p.m. you need to respond by 8:30 p.m., right? So it's all part of the, you know, the evolution into really a new sort of digital workplace. And it's not about not doing the work. It's not about ignoring your emails. It's about finding a better way to do things and making the individual feel like, I can handle this. I'm not overwhelmed. I'm not too busy. I'm just dealing with things in a calm way. I'm still getting lots done. You know, my boss knows I'll be online early in the morning and replying to his email, but having plans in place to deal with this constant barrage of distractions and notifications and emails and all the things that we deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Do you think people resist some of this because there's a lack of good quality leadership in industries? Because I think about, you know, a boss I had who we put in these plans and then they'd have sort of a new idea and it'd be like, well, everyone stop what you're doing. Let's talk about my thing for a bit. And you just waste, you know, days and days and days. And I think that might be a similar thing in a lot of organizations where, you know, they kind of want distraction-free focus, but then they kind of don't know what to do with the focus because they don't really have a clear focus plan of what to do.
Yeah, and I think, you know, ultimately business leaders, business owners, team leaders, they want to help their team. They want to help their employees. You know, where I work, we have people come in and talk about mental health initiatives. A lot of times I think it's pretty fluffy. There's not a lot to grasp onto there. What I'm trying to do that's a little bit different, I guess, is here are some actual actions you can put in place tomorrow that will actually make a difference. And, you know, change is scary. The reality is, you know, talking about doing things differently, approaching your work differently, it can be scary. And maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't work out. But I think if we keep going down the road that we're on, you know, people are going to keep burning out. People are, you know, we have all these taglines going around now, you know, quiet quitting, minimal Mondays, scared Sundays, I think it is, or something, where people are feeling stressed about their job. So I think we're at a point now where we need to start trying things out. And I, you know, to your point, I think team leaders, business owners, they want to help. They want to provide support for their employees, but they're not really sure what exactly to do. Everybody's different, right? But I think from my conversations and my experiences, you know, I've worked in an office setting for almost 15 years. It's a pretty common problem for people to feel, you know, distracted and overwhelmed, too much work, not enough time, all those things. And my system and list of strategies and actions that I've come up with is meant to sort of present people with, you know, here's some things you can start doing right now, tomorrow, next week, whatever it is, that will hopefully make a difference for people.
So how do you help people then? Like, how do your services work? Do you come into an office and just monitor staff and give a report to management, or are you a coach? Or do you just give them a bunch of paperwork to read? How does it work?
Yeah, so I mean, I think it starts with a conversation about the business, what type of work is happening, what type of issues people are experiencing. I would come into that workplace and give a bit of a presentation around the ideas. And then, you know, I believe, you know, change starts with the individual and then gets supported by the company or the employer. So it's really about talking to people, seeing what their issues are, and then coming up with a list of actions that I can see helping them. And I, you know, my strategies that I've come up with, they kind of fall into four different categories. Health, things you can do to improve your health that will in turn improve your focus. Mindset, so just ways to approach things, ways to think about your work. Productivity, so actual strategies for, you know, time management and task management, and then distraction, managing the digital world and the distractions that come with everyday life. So it's really, you know, taking actions off that menu and applying them to everyone's unique situation.
That's cool. that's what I liked about this from day one, which was we all know, or a lot of us know, that we've got these issues, we have these distractions, but I think it's extremely rare or uncommon that there's a business or someone out here that could actually help you get out of that distraction, which is really cool about this.
Yeah, and I think people want to wave a magic wand sometimes and sort of fix all the things all at once. It's like, man, you know, starting on Monday, I am going to be someone who eats right, exercises every day, doesn't look at my phone. You know, I become a corporate robot who just like does all the work I need to do. And that stuff doesn't work. And we've all experienced that. Whereas if we pick an action, make one change, you start then being like, well, if that worked, what if this next thing works? And, you know, the journey, you know, takes you from that, you know, showing up stressed out, overwhelmed, talking about being overwhelmed, to then experiencing what it's like to be sort of calm, productive, you know, able to focus, you know, get things done without it feeling like a worry. And I don't know that many of us have felt that way before, but it's miraculous when you can.
Yeah, it's been a great experience for me. It's the reality is, though, it's hard. I mean, I didn't grow up with a cell phone when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I feel lucky in that way. I've had a cell phone for maybe 10 to 15 years. I use my phone pretty minimally compared to a lot of people, but I still have that urge to, I gotta check my phone. And I'm thinking about this stuff all the time.
Yeah.
So it is difficult. It's hard. It's, you know, comes down to building habits, finding out what works for you, what's actually manageable for you in your workday, and trying things out. And like you said, taking actual action that can hopefully within, as in your case, Matt, like within a couple of weeks, start noticing differences.
What's been the hardest action for you?
So I think turning some of these actions into habits has been a hard one. One thing that I do, and this one might be top of the list for me in terms of how important it is, but getting up every day and going for a walk in the morning seems like such a simple, obvious thing, and a lot of the stuff that I talk about is fairly common sense, but there's a science behind it. If you've ever listened to the Huberman Lab podcast,
I was gonna say it's like a stoicism thing, isn't it?
Too? Well, it's partially that. Like, I'm, you know, I go for a walk and I try to focus on, you know, having some mindfulness during that walk, and, you know, what do I want to get done today, or simply just what's important to me, gratitude, those types of things. But the science behind it is they're going for a walk in the morning can help set your circadian rhythm. So getting natural sunlight into your eyeballs within those first couple hours of sunlight helps set your internal clock to that 16 hours of wakefulness, 8 hours of sleep. And the reason I started doing this was because I tried to make an effort to prioritize my sleep.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't get 8 hours of sleep every night. That's, you know, not really realistic for most people, but I try and get 8 hours of sleep 80% of the time is kind of the goal. And going for that morning walk every day, you know, is important if I can. Maybe there's a bit of placebo effect to this, but I feel like it really sets me up to be awake during those important times when I need to be awake and alert and ready to go. You know, as I said, the Huberman Lab podcast, he talks about it, getting that cortisol spike into your brain that sort of wakes you up and lets you know, okay, it's daytime, time to go. And then 16 hours later, the melatonin kicks in and you get yourself ready for that 8 hours of sleep. Making that a habit has been hard, especially, you know, in Ontario in February. And it's minus 30 and windy and snowing. And you're like, do I really have to go for a walk this morning?
You're still doing it in February.
I don't do it 100% every single day, but I make an effort to do it every single day. Even today, I got up and I said, like, I got to go for my walk because I know I'm doing this podcast and I want to be like alert and ready to go. So I think just making those habits is the hard part, because you find something that works, starts to work a little bit, and then you think, oh, I'm better now.
Yeah.
And then you stop doing it, and then you get back into the same old routine. Another one that at first was I found difficult, but I have now come to really enjoy and embrace it, is adopting a low information diet. So I deleted like all the news apps off my phone. I don't watch any like mass media news programs. I really have no clue what's going on in the world, which again, at first was like, oh, you know, I'm not a very informed citizen right now, but
that's a good thing.
It's
I went on blast. Sorry, like to get them off topic, but it. I was just furious the other day, and I was like ranting. Well, my wife was there. I was not ranting at my wife, but like you listen to the news, and one side's talking about this out of a radical perspective, the other side is talking about the complete opposite, and most of the time, they're just no one's focusing on things that are actually going to benefit us, and it's driving me bonkers. And I've said, I'm like, I don't care anymore. I just want to like dial it down. That's we're calling it a low information diet.
Yeah, and
that's what I would like, because like I just like I can't stand it anymore. On either like I can't listen to all this news and be bothered about the government's focused on this and they don't care about this. And I just can't do it. I'd rather not be informed.
Yeah, that's the point I'm at too. And I stole that low information diet from Tim Ferriss, who's great about all this kind of stuff and designing your life the way you want it. But I kind of think of it as, you know, your brain is like a bucket. There's only so much room for information in your head. What do you want to fill that bucket up with? Is it the stuff on the news? If it is, then great, watch the news. But when you watch, you know, CNN or CP24, it's just the headline crawl. One tragedy after another, one horrible thing happened in the world after another. And that can cause stress in itself, just knowing about all that stuff. And again, I'd rather make space in my head for things that I actually care about, things that actually move the needle in my life and make a difference for me. So again, at first you almost feel like you're not an informed person. You're kind of on the outside of conversations sometimes, but after doing it for over a year now, or 2 years almost, I love it. It's one of the best things I've done in my life.
What triggered me snapping, just to be super clear, was in the last week, both my kids have had strep throat. They had to go to a walk-in. They had to get there over an hour before it opened. They each combined still had to wait there, total 6 hours. So my wife was there 3 hours at a time. One of the times, no one in town had the medicine that they needed, the antibiotics. And then last week, I feel like the thing that was talked about most on Twitter and government was they took Terry Fox off the Canadian passport, and there's people losing their minds about it. And I'm like, how on earth is this an important talking point, but my kid can't get medicine? And I'm like, I just snapped. I was so mad. And then I was like, anti-government snapping and all this. I'm like, this is not an issue. This is not a priority when we've got real things happening. Like the Minden Hospital is going to close down and my kids can't get medicine. It's not like weird, different medicine. It's antibiotics because he's got strep throat. Like, how are we focused on this? And that's literally when I was like, I can't listen to this anymore. I don't care what anybody has to say. I'd rather create my own bubble. I said to my, I only care about my bubble. That's all I care about now. The people that I know, the people I talk to, that's all I care about. I don't care about anything else anymore.
For sure.
Yeah. And I think, there's lots of ways to go with that. And sometimes people are like, well, you have to be engaged. And I think you still can be, but also if you want to build that better world, it does start sometimes with choosing yourself and your own sort of peace, and then hope that you can spread that around a little bit. So not to get too woo-woo on our podcast here, but that's kind of the big benefit of being able to learn how to focus and tune those things out. And if everybody does that, then if there is a problem, like hospitals or medicine, then you can actually focus on it and solve it. Like, humans are really good at solving problems. And like, I personally believe there's no real problem that can't be solved. But if you're distracted by nonsense all the time and not actually focusing on those core things that matter, like kids in medicine and doctors.
Or changing the design of the passport.
Yeah.
That's what they're losing their minds about last week. Sorry.
Yeah, I saw snippets of that and I didn't go down knowing what that was. I was just like, oh, here we are. You know, this is why I don't pay attention, because no one's driving a good progressive, how are we making life better conversation. It's let's fight over like our passport designs. And I think this is just a great metaphor for this podcast of like, what are you focusing on?
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to quickly ask about, I think there's a phase of like eliminating distractions, but what do you think is a really good tip to help increase the focus? One of the things I've found is I'm doing better and better at eliminating distractions. And I'm in a period now where I've intentionally carved out time to focus on creative work, and the times where I do it has been outstanding. Can you give me anything cool to like make that better, or like that sort of the increased focus in that time aside from just eliminating all the distractions?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, the first step is definitely eliminating the distractions. I think ultimately we want to achieve what is referred to as flow, like a flow state where you're totally focused on what you're doing. You lose track of time. You know, I think it's a lot easier for painters, musicians to get into that flow state. For an office worker, it's a little bit more difficult. Mm-hmm. Something that I've been using now for a while, the Pomodoro technique, it's called, where you actually set a timer on your phone or on your whatever, for 25 minutes of uninterrupted work. You work steadily focused for 25 minutes on whatever you're doing. And that buzzer goes off. You take a 5-minute break, go for a walk, do some push-ups, grab a snack, whatever it is. You have another 5-minute timer going. Then when the 5-minute timer goes off, you get back into the another 25 minutes of intense work. You know, there's some very, very successful people. I believe Elon Musk has even talked about this as a strategy that he uses. And I find that it does a couple things. It gives you 25 minutes, goes by pretty quickly. So you can get a, but you can get quite a bit done if you're actually truly focused. And it gives you something to look forward to. Oh, you know, for that 5-minute break, I'm going to go get some fresh air, or I'm going to, whatever it is. Maybe it can even be, you know, playing solitaire for 5 minutes. Yeah. Just take a 5-minute break. And something Donald Miller, who I know you study and talk about a lot, he says you can build a multi-million-dollar business in 90 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he has.
Yeah, like, so if you're intensely focused for those 90 minutes and you're using the Pomodoro technique potentially with that 25-5 schedule, it's really helped me. Seems to have really helped some other very successful people. It's been around for a long time. The other piece that I would say is important, and this is something, again, Andrew Huberman talks about in his podcast, is getting prepared for focus.
Yeah.
So if you're saying, okay, I'm going to sit down and work on this really important task for the next 60 minutes, make sure you go to the bathroom. Make sure you grab a glass of water or a coffee or whatever it is. Turn off, you know, eliminate the distractions. Obviously, yeah. We talked about that. But just getting yourself into it, go for a 5-minute walk. Getting yourself into an alert, focused, prepared state, and make it an event. Oh, I'm doing my focused work for the next 60 minutes. And I'm to the point now where I like get excited about it. I'm like, oh, this is my time where I'm going to really get stuff done.
I've been really enjoying it. Like people on the podcast know I teach part-time, so I haven't been teaching the last few weeks, and I've had some projects which to me are exciting and fulfilling, and I get excited to do it, and then I get really excited sometimes of what comes out of it. So you get into that flow state and something comes together that might seem so simple from the outside, but like it's just exciting to be able to do that. So I'm looking to do it more. And I like that idea of those strategies, because when we look at it, you know, 3 of those little blocks a day, if you could consistently do that, you can build probably any business that you want. And then you're not just working, you know, that time, you're getting ready to focus. Then there's, you know, the batch tasking of the little things takes a bit of time. But you could get a lot done in, you know, say 6 hours a day or, you know, less versus the 10 hours you might be spending trying to do the same. And then it's not as good because you're exhausted.
For sure. Time. Yeah. Well, I mean, coming back to the whole switching cost thing, like studies are showing that people are losing like up to 2 or 3 hours a day in jumping from task to task to task. So getting yourself into that mode and taking the time to, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes, to prepare yourself for a bout of focused work, you know, deep work. It's another a book that I've really put a lot of time reading and learning about. You can get so much more done if you're actually focused compared to if you're bouncing around trying to do 3 or 4 things at once. And ultimately, at the end of the day, whether it's the individual or the company or the employer, you want, it feels good to get stuff done, to produce results, to produce meaningful work, and being focused really helps you do that.
Yeah, this is a huge problem of mine right now, and I'm glad we talked about it, because I cannot go 5-10 minutes without being distracted by something. And I know it's a problem, but I'm not actively trying to change it yet. But I love this whole concept and idea. When you said like that flow state where like a painter or something, you lose track of time. I've lost that. I remember when I first started my business, you'd get in those states when you did work because I wasn't as busy. Now I'm busy and it sounds hard to stay focused. But like I've got calls and I've got appointments. So you're kind of like, you're working and you're looking at the clock every couple minutes and trying to like make sure you get to those. But I love the idea of setting a timer, like, okay, you know, you have X amount of time, 25 minutes, or even if it's less, for instance, and like, okay, I've got this much time, get into it. Don't do anything until that's done. So that's super helpful. I'm going to start that this afternoon.
Yeah. And I think just sort of to build off of that idea of the, you know, the focused time, being prepared for what you're going to work on. And again, this is another strategy that has been a big one for me, is planning tomorrow today. So, you know, sitting down at the end of the day and saying, okay, what's my number one priority for tomorrow? That's the only, that not the only thing that matters, but that is my number one thing I need to get done. I'm putting that into my little focused work time block. That's going to be my big result tomorrow. So when you wake up in the morning, you already know what you're going to work on. You don't sit down and start flipping through emails and say, oh, what am I going to work on today? You've already got that big thing there. You find your time and you just get at it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's awesome. These things are, again, simple, hard to do. You need some strategies. You need some coaching. You need some helpers along the way. But I think the benefits are massive when we have it. To finish us off, what's one thing you want people to know and how do they find you?
Yeah, so I hope people can reach out to me at ryan@yourfocusedlife.ca. By the time this podcast comes out, the website should be ready to go. And really, my goal is to help people in taking action towards achieving a more calm and productive life. There's actual science-based strategies that can help people do this. They've really helped me, and I just want to share what's helped me with other people and hopefully help them too.
Awesome. All right, Matt, what's the thing you want people to know and how do they find you?
I'm going to answer that, but like one last thing I got to get off my chest too. Like, it's a hard topic to deal with, and I think the narrative's been wrong for so long. And we've seen movies about it where it's social media is the devil. Cell phones are the devil. The best way to get rid of the devil is just remove them from your life completely. I don't think that that's a tangible answer. What I like about what you're doing is you're coming up with tools of, okay, you're an office worker and you need to be on social media because that's part of your job, or you need to be on email because that's part of your job. How do we actually remove those distractions in a real world, which I think is really cool. So
yeah, thanks.
Now enough about you and more about me. I want to tell people that not enough people know that your business exists. As the demographics of Lindsay and Kawartha Lakes change, that becomes more glaringly obvious. I can help your business get found on Google in less than 60 days. Go to my website and book a call at mattygdigital.com.
Awesome. I'm a business coach that helps your business get money with grants, increase sales, and streamlining your business for profit. Find me at profitcoach.ca. Matt and I would love to collaborate to help you launch, grow, or recharge your business, and we want to work with you. If you want to discuss working with us or be a guest on the podcast, send us an email to setitup@kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca. And remember, we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small businesses.